Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 4. Answer to another objection, showing that the destruction of Jerusalem, which was the city of the great king, diminished nothing from the supreme majesty and power of God, for that this destruction was put in execution by the most wise counsel of the same God. Further, also, concerning Jerusalem and the Lord, they venture to assert that if it had been the city of the great king, it would not have been deserted. This is just as if anyone should say that if straw were a creation of God, it would never part company with the wheat, and that the vine twigs, if made by God, would never be lopped away and deprived of the clusters. But as these twigs have not been originally made for their own sake, but for the sake of the fruit growing upon them, which being come to maturity and taken away, they are left behind, and those which do not conduce to fructification are lopped off altogether. So also was it with Jerusalem, which had in herself borne the yoke of bondage, under which man was reduced, who in former times was not subject to God when death was reigning, and being subdued, became a fit subject for liberty. When the fruit of liberty had come and reached maturity, and been reaped and stored in the barn, and when those which had the power to produce fruit had been carried away from her, and scattered throughout all the world, even as Isaiah said, "The children of Jacob shall strike root, and Israel shall flourish, and the whole world shall be filled with his fruit." The fruit, therefore, having been sown throughout the world, Jerusalem was forsaken, and those things which had formerly brought forth fruit abundantly were taken away. For from these, according to the flesh, were Christ and the apostles enabled to bring forth fruit. But now these are no longer useful for bringing forth fruit, for all things which have a beginning in time must, of course, have an end in time also. Since then, the law originated with Moses, it terminated with John, as a necessary consequence. Christ had come to fulfill it, wherefore the law and the prophets were with them until John the Baptist. And therefore Jerusalem, taking its commencement from David, and fulfilling its own times, must have an end of legislation when the new covenant was revealed. For God does all things by measure and in order. Nothing is unmeasured with him, because nothing is out of order. Well spoke he who said that the unmeasurable Father was himself subjected to measure in the Son. For the Son is the measure of the Father, since he also comprehends him. But that the administration of the Jews was temporary, Isaiah says, "And the daughter of Zion shall be left as a cottage in the vineyard, and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers." And when shall these things be left behind? Is it not when the fruit shall be taken away, and the leaves alone be left, which now have no power of producing fruit? But why do we speak of Jerusalem, since indeed the fashion of the whole world must also pass away when the time of its disappearance has come, in order that the fruit indeed may be gathered into the garner, but the chaff left behind may be consumed by fire? For the day of the Lord comes as a burning furnace, and all sinners shall be stubble, they who do evil things, and the day shall burn them up. Now who this Lord is that brings such a day about, John the Baptist points out, when he says of Christ, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, having his fan in his hand to cleanse his floor. And he will gather his fruit into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. For he who makes the chaff and he who makes the wheat are not different persons, but one and the same who judges them, that is, who separates them. But the wheat and the chaff, being inanimate and irrational, have been made such by nature. But man, being endowed with reason, and in this respect like to God, having been made free in his will and with power over himself, is himself the cause to himself that sometimes he becomes wheat and sometimes chaff. Wherefore also, he shall be justly condemned, because having been created a rational being, he lost the true rationality, and living irrationally, opposed the righteousness of God, giving himself over to every earthly spirit, and serving all lusts. As says the prophet, man, being in honor, did not understand. He was assimilated to senseless beasts, and made like to them. Chapter 5. The author returns to his former argument and shows that there was but one God announced by the law and the prophets, whom Christ confesses as his Father, and who through his word, one living God with him, made himself known to men in both covenants. God, therefore, is one and the same, who rolls up the heavens like a book and renews the face of the earth, who made the things of time for man, so that coming to maturity in them he may produce the fruit of immortality, and who through his kindness also bestows upon him eternal things, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace. Who was announced by the law and the prophets, whom Christ confessed as his Father? Now he is the Creator, and he it is who is God over all, as Isaiah says, I am witness, says the Lord God, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am. Before me there was no other God, neither shall there be after me. I am God, and besides me there is no Savior. I have proclaimed, and I have saved. And again, I myself am the first God, and I am above things to come. For neither in an ambiguous, nor arrogant, nor boastful manner does he say these things. But since it was impossible without God to come to a knowledge of God, he teaches men through his word to know God. To those, therefore, who are ignorant of these matters, and on this account imagine that they have discovered another Father, justly does one say, you are wrong, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. For our Lord and Master, in the answer which he gave to the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, and who do therefore dishonor God and lower the credit of the law, did both indicate a resurrection and reveal God, saying to them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. For touching the resurrection of the dead, he says, have you not read that which was spoken by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? And he added, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. By these arguments, he unquestionably made it clear that he who spoke to Moses out of the bush and declared himself to be the God of the fathers, he is the God of the living. For who is the God of the living unless he who is God, and above whom there is no other God? Whom also Daniel the prophet, when Cyrus king of the Persians said to him, why do you not worship Bel? Did proclaim, saying, because I do not worship idols made with hands, but the living God, who established heaven and the earth, and has dominion over all flesh. Again did Daniel say, I will adore the Lord my God, because he is the living God. He then who was adored by the prophets as the living God, he is the God of the living, and his word is he who also spoke to Moses, who also put the Sadducees to silence, who also bestowed the gift of resurrection, thus revealing truths to those who are blind, that is, the resurrection and God. For if he be not the God of the dead, but of the living, yet was called the God of the fathers who were sleeping, they do indubitably live to God, and have not passed out of existence, since they are children of the resurrection. But our Lord is himself the resurrection, as he does himself declare, I am the resurrection and the life. But the fathers are his children, for it is said by the prophet, Instead of thy fathers, thy children have been made to thee. Christ himself, therefore, together with the Father, is the God of the living, who spoke to Moses, and who was also manifested to the fathers. And teaching this very thing, he said to the Jews, Your father Abraham rejoiced that he should see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. What was intended? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. In the first place, Abraham believed that God was the maker of heaven and earth, the only God. And in the next place, that God would make his seed as the stars of heaven. This is what is meant by Paul when he says, as lights in the world. Righteously, therefore, having left his earthly kindred, Abraham followed the word of God, walking as a pilgrim with the word, that he might have his abode with the word. Righteously also the apostles, being of the race of Abraham, left the ship and their father, and followed the word. Righteously also do we, possessing the same faith as Abraham, and taking up the cross as Isaac did the wood, follow him. For in Abraham man had learned beforehand, and had been accustomed to follow, the word of God. For Abraham, according to his faith, followed the command of the word of God, and with a ready mind delivered up, as a sacrifice to God, his only begotten and beloved Son, in order that God also might be pleased to offer up for all his seed his own beloved and only begotten Son, as a sacrifice for our redemption. Since therefore Abraham was a prophet, and saw in the Spirit the day of the Lord's coming, and the dispensation of his suffering, through whom both he and himself and all who following the example of his faith trust in God should be saved, Abraham rejoiced exceedingly. The Lord, therefore, was not unknown to Abraham, whose day he desired to see, nor again was the Lord's father, for he had learned from the word of the Lord and believed him. Wherefore it was accounted to Abraham by the Lord for righteousness. For faith towards God justifies a man. And therefore Abraham said, I will stretch forth my hand to the Most High God, who made the heaven and the earth. All these truths, however, do those holding perverse opinions endeavor to overthrow, because of one passage, which they certainly do not understand correctly. End of chapter 5.